stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Bruschetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday. It's March 22nd.
And it's Friday.
Almost. Almost, oh, no. Not yet.
Oh, my God,
Thursday.
It's already Thursday. Oh, my God, what planet am I on?
Did you think it was Friday?
I did.
Wow.
Why am I an idiot?
You got to collect yourself this morning.
Yeah, I think I left my brain back at the... Oh, yes, I did. And
you
my
did?
Clothes. No, I'm kidding. I had a long night.
Did you really?
No, it was a good night, actually.
A good night.
Mm-hmm.
A good long night.
Good long night. Well, okay, we went to bed fairly early, but still it was... Very fun.
Yeah, did you go out and stuff? Or
You've got
some friends in town, right?
Yeah, I have a lot of friends in town right now.
Wow.
From all over. Because an ex actually got married on Monday. So
So they all came into town.
From everywhere.
Really?
From New York, North Carolina, Chicago, upstate, and Canada.
Wow.
And Missouri. One of them moved to Missouri. Oh, and Arizona. So people are like from everywhere right now. And
yeah.
It's been an interesting week. But last night I went out with a friend from up north. So... That was fun.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
Let's go back to that because we have a phone call already.
Okay.
So let's see. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Sam, it's me, Greg in Cleveland.
Greg in Cleveland. How are you? You've never talked to Greg before.
I have never talked to
you
Greg before.
You hear him every day. He does our intro for the show.
Oh, that's Greg.
Yeah, and he's got the barbecue show, of course. How are you, Greg?
I am awesome. Dude, it's been like forever. And I need to congratulate you on finding your 78th host for the show.
Well, you only woke up 3 months later. She's not that
new
anymore.
But I think this show sounds, better than ever. And Bruschetta is bringing a great vibe to the show. And
absolutely.
I mean, everything is just going swimmingly. And I thought at first, after I didn't know what to think. You were losing co-hosts all over the place, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? But you found something, and I think each new host kind of brings a unique and different perspective.
Definitely,
this one is no different. It's great.
Yeah, I don't look at it as losing hosts. It's just moving forward. You got to remember that many of the co-hosts are in entertainment and stuff. So as soon as they find a good gig, they move on. So you have to understand that. But it's always been good. I think it keeps getting better all the time. I think the show is better than it's ever been now.
Mm-hmm. And, thanks.
She's taking credit.
I was like, hey, no kidding.
You might as well.
I don't know.
You're part of it. So, Greg, how's it going with Barbecue Central?
The show is fabulous, and I guess the reason why I don't have a co-host is because if somebody left me, I would probably freak out and just stop the show altogether.
Aww.
No, you
definitely
would.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, what can I say? I didn't know it was 4 years on February 7th that, we celebrated the live show.
Right.
And if I would have sat here answering a Craigslist 4 years ago and said, I'm going to end up talking to this guy, and 4 years later, we're still going to be doing this thing.
Yeah,
I would think you're crazy, but man, it's growing, and I've launched new websites, and it's grown and turned into something that I never thought or dreamed would be something that would be able to be repetitive week after week. But
what can I say?
The numbers don't lie. People love to eat and get fat.
Yeah, exactly. And I was going to tell you. By the way, everybody, Greg Rempe has a show called Barbecue Central. It's on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific time every Tuesday. And what amazes me, Greg, is not only is your show produced so well, but you've been doing this for 4 years. I mean, Bruschetta, can you imagine talking about barbecue for 4 years?
I was actually just thinking about it. I'm like, oh, my God, that's crazy. But I'm sure there's is it all about barbecue? Is it all cooking? Or do you have, some fun stories that go with it, kicking back beers and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's like every industry, I guess the better way to describe it would be, there's a bunch of industries that people have no idea that's even going on, right? So acting is its own industry, and telecom is its own. So barbecue happens to be its own industry. So within the complete subculture, we have a competition sector, which I can talk about every week because something is always changing.
Right.
There's stuff on TV, there's producers, there's pit manufacturers, there's grill makers, there's accessories. I mean, it's a wide-sweeping industry that not a lot of people know about, but it's growing leaps and bounds. Everybody's got a grill out back, so it's kind of everything. It's tips and tricks and techniques. It's introducing people to new products. It's having experts on, giving their opinions, and then it's telling stories that have nothing to do with barbecue and grilling whatsoever.
Yeah,
so it's kind of hodgepodge, I guess.
Yeah.
That's
well,
cool.
Yeah, you know, you've evolved the show as well, and I think you're doing very well. And why don't you go ahead? I mean, obviously, people can find you on our website, but what is your website as well if people want to go there directly?
TheBBQCentralShow.com.
Okay, sounds good.
But look, I need to ask a question.
Yes.
Because I've never talked to a real live actress. And, is she as hot as she looks on the website, Sam?
She's very hot. She's very hot. It's sizzling in here. Are you kidding? I sweat every day I come in here.
Oh, stop.
Let me ask you a question.
Go for it.
I was trolling your website, and by trolling, I mean masturbating. And I was watching this video clip of you and David Duchovny. You had no top on.
Nope.
No
so
top.
Here's the question.
Yep.
How is it at all uncomfortable for you to be like that in front of what is not just the people you're obviously acting with? There's a whole crew and everything that goes along with that. Do you not care? I mean, what's the mindset there?
Oh, you know, it's actually funny because for that role, I almost didn't go in for the role. Excuse me. I was terrified to go in, and I'm losing my voice right now.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Well, have
Hold
something to drink. That's fine. Yeah, but,
I was choking earlier. I'm
and I didn't even know the clip was on your website until Greg told me.
Oh, that's true. Oh, my God. Yeah. Are you serious? That's how you found it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I almost didn't go in for the audition, but it's my favorite show ever. Mm. So I had to go in, and I went in, and I actually read for the role of the other girl who was being banged in the ass by Rick Springfield.
Yeah.
And going down on Evan Handler's character. And I was like, I can't believe I'm reading for this right now. I can't believe. But I needed to be in front of the casting director. So I went in and they thought it was hilarious. And it's funny because when you go in and you do these reads, there's no one else in the room that you're reading with. Like the casting director reads the lines and they're like, blah, 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 blah. And you have to like act on that.
Right.
And they just kind of sit there and stare at you. So I went in and I took a chair and I turned it around backwards and I slammed my ass against the wall pretending I was getting banged. I mean, it was like really funny.
Yeah.
And you're acting with no one there and you have to put on the show to make them feel like it's real. So I'm literally like banging the wall and pretending I'm fucking this chair and I'm like sucking this person's whatever and saying my lines like whatever. And it was so funny, but they loved it and they called me back and they're like, hey, you had this role. There was the other one that had stunts, and I chose the one with the other one that I did with the stunts. And yeah, it's David Duchovny. So like, and it's he's amazing, and his show is about sex, and I knew that. And when I showed up on set, I was terrified. I really was. I was like, oh, God, I have to be naked in front of these people. Oh, my God. And I'm there for a week, too. So when I showed up, the first thing, I mean, they were all naked. Like, they were doing a scene before mine, and he was very naked, wearing a robe that was open. And he shook my hand. He's like, hi. And I was like, I had to look. Like, I looked. I had to. And I was like, wow, okay, hi. And I felt, you know, and he was very inviting and it made me feel so comfortable right away. And it is, you know, it's a professional set, so they have robes for you immediately. You're covered until, I wasn't covered on the bed, I was covered on the floor. And as soon as they're about, okay, we're about to go, and then they pull the robe from you last minute. And as soon as they say cut, the robe's thrown back on you. Like, we have your own, like, the wardrobe assistant right there.
Right.
So it's very professional. And when everyone's naked, you just don't.
Yeah.
They were cracking jokes the whole time, and they made me feel so welcomed and so at home. It was awesome. So I didn't really worry about it after that. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm naked, whatever, I forgot.
Yeah. Plus, Greg, you got to remember, you know, for women, boobs is not a big deal, you know? I mean, right? You just take off your shirt. It's not a big deal. I mean, women.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, it's still a human being that has to go in and be how she isn't normally.
Right.
You know,
unless you're just walking around like naked all the time. I mean, granted, actresses are probably a little bit more comfortable with that than guys are because they're not showing Wang all the time. But still, right. I mean, you know, you're putting it out there for everybody's review, which is probably the most intimidating portion of the whole thing, right? Because people are going to get on the internet and go, her tits aren't that good. Or,
exactly.
They're out there, right?
And that's exactly what I, you know, what goes through your head. But then again, you're in the industry and you have to have tough skin because someone's always not going to like you. Someone's always going to think, oh, whatever this, oh, whatever that. And you know what? I had a blast doing it. All the men were naked the whole, like, not the whole time, but a lot of the time. So it was very, and we all laughed about it, and we all cracked up, like, sexual funny jokes, and we're like, all right, it doesn't even matter anymore. And it's funny because they're walking around. They have stockings they have to wear on their dong.
Really? Stockings?
Yeah, like skin-colored stockings.
Really?
It's really, like pantyhose almost on their dong. And I remember laying on the floor, and I'm seeing everything because I'm looking up through the robes, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm looking at cock right now. And in a stocking, and there's balls everywhere. Like, what the fuck's going on? And I just would laugh to myself, like, and you know what? That made me laugh to be like, they've got to feel self-conscious too. And they do it every day. And and they were. They are self-conscious because we had, like, talks about it. And it was funny. I got everyone on a watermelon diet all week.
Really?
Because I found that watermelon fills you up.
Uh-huh.
And you just pee it out. And so, like, that's how you, like, don't worry. You need to eat. Right. But you also are self-conscious because you're like, oh, God, people are staring at me naked, blah, 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 blah. But I got everyone to do that.
Really?
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But there, and also,
I mean,
that,
I would have to imagine it would be less of a intimidation factor for everybody if everybody wasn't so fucking good looking in the thing. If you had a big fat piece of crap broad, you wouldn't care if you were naked or not. But everybody's hot, so it's almost like a competition.
Yeah.
In a way, but I think that show too is like, also everyone's so used to naked girls being on the show because that's all it pretty much is. Everyone's always naked and fucking. That's right. Women and the men on the show. So in a way, but it's like you've got women of all different ages that are on the show as well,
right.
And all different body types, and most of them are. I mean, everyone's pretty much in shape, but the crew doesn't care because it's every day to them.
Right.
And they've been doing it for years. And they work in the industry and it's like all the time, and especially this show. You know, going in, if you're playing a role in the show, you know you're going to get naked and you're going to have sex. That's just what it is. So,
yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I find it absolutely fascinating. I've never been able to talk to anybody that's actually been, like, naked in a TV show. So why not go right to the source? It's fascinating. I find it endlessly fascinating. I gotta be honest.
Thanks.
Yeah, no, she lives on the edge, man, and she takes chances, but I think it works for you, you know? I really do.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, and you got to go out there and do what works, you know? And I mean, and it's just acting, you know? I mean,
it's just acting, exactly. Yeah.
What the hell? Except every actress ends up with her co-star anyway in bed.
But, you know...
It does happen a lot.
It does happen a lot. It does happen a lot. I will have to say, on the majority of film sets that I've worked on, I have hooked up with either the director or the main actor.
Yeah, it's easy because you work together.
Gotta get jobs down the road, right?
You know, but it just, you know what it is? Is because you create this intimate connection with these characters, and it is a hard separation. Like, you're so into character, and it is like you're there every day.
Right.
You know, and especially if they're in a love relationship in the film.
Right. Yeah, like love scenes and stuff. I would imagine.
You develop more than that. You have to for the movie.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, I'm connected still. Oh, wait, it's not real. What?
Right.
And then it just kind of happens.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's why many, you know.
Breakups.
Breakups happen because of this.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's hard to handle something like that.
Yeah, exactly. It is. Yeah.
You know, and I think even when you're both actors, it's still hard to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't know.
Totally.
But, Greg, you should try a nude scene sometime too, man.
He's like, let's try
think
right
wants
now.
To see that.
Why not? I can imagine you naked making barbecue.
Oh, that's
backyard.
A new show, Naked Barbecue. Oh, my God, I would totally.
Well,
would
there is a term for when you make barbecue with just a shirt on and nothing else.
What
it's
is
called
it?
Porky Pig Barbecue.
Nice.
Yeah,
like
just watch out for your wiener, man.
Oh my God. Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Don't burn the sausage.
Yeah. Don't burn the sausage. That would be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, I just wanted to call and say a quick hello. Very nice to meet you. Your new co-host, Bridgetta. I know it took like 50 times for me to get her name right on the voiceover, but I apologize. but we got it nailed down. Continue success with the show, guys. I'll be in touch soon.
Thanks
a lot, Greg. Thanks for calling, man.
Take care.
Bye.
That is funny.
Yeah, Greg is very funny. You know, we used to have all kinds of... let me do a... He's got, like, a couple of impressions that he did.
Okay.
Check this out. I'll play this for you.
Hello. George Takei here. You know, the only thing more gay than me and rad are the confines the FCC placed on terrestrial radio. That's why I tune in to the internet and listen to L.A., Talk radio, it's better than sucking cock.
Wow.
That's great. Now, if you do you know who George Takei is? It probably is not as funny for you.
No, I just like his voice because he's like,
George Takei was on Star Trek. And Sulu was his name. And then...
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking
he
about.
He goes on Howard Stern sometimes, and he was just on Celebrity Apprentice as well.
Was he?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have another phone call. I think that's the guest.
Might be
you've
our
been
guest.
Calling for a few minutes here. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Rosemary Boyd.
How you doing, Rosemary?
Steady set.
Yay.
Yes, how are you? I'm sorry I didn't answer before, but you called a little early and we had another phone call.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure what was going on.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah.
That's fine. Where are you calling us from today?
I'm calling from Prescott, Arizona.
Oh, nice. In Arizona. Okay. Wow, how cool.
I moved here about 10 years ago.
Oh, okay.
From the coast.
Yeah.
Really? And where did you move from?
I moved from New Jersey.
Oh, wow. So from New Jersey to Arizona. Why, the weather?
Yes. We're up in the mountains, and it's 20 degrees cooler than Phoenix here.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really? How nice. Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah.
Wow. So you wrote the book called The Spaghetti Set, Family Served Italian Style. And so tell us a little bit about the book itself. And then we'll ask you how it came about and all that. So what is the book about?
The book is about two Italian-American families in post-World War II New Jersey. It's about a woman who immigrates from Italy, and she comes to America, and she meets an Italian-American. And when their two families, the story is about how their two families interact and how the relatives deal with each other. And there's a lot of humor in it. It affirms the old adage, family is family, like it or not.
Right.
I know that story.
Italian families tend to bond around the dinner table, right?
Yes, we do.
A lot of food going on.
The food.
There's a lot of scenes in the book that deal with the dinner table and the conversation between family members around the dinner table.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of friction between family members.
Oh, yes.
And makes for some humor.
Yeah. You know, I remember on The Sopranos, every scene was almost with food, you know, and it occurred to me, I thought, what is going on here, you know, with all the food?
So, Italians love to eat.
Yeah. So I would imagine you're Italian as well, right?
Yes. My mother immigrated to America from Italy, from an island off of Sicily, mm-hmm. and my father's parents immigrated to America.
I see. Now,
I was going to say, my family is from Sicily.
Are they? Where in Sicily?
Catania.
Catania. I don't think that's too far from... My mother's island was called Favignana.
Okay.
Sounds good. I'm going there.
Are you? You're going to Favignana?
No, I'm kidding. I'm saying I would like to go, yeah.
when my mother lived there, it was a fishing village, and now it's a tourist attraction.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Amazing. So now there's a big Italian community in New Jersey, right? Italian community.
Where I lived, it was an Italian neighborhood when I grew up. It was called Chambersburg. It was like a little Italy. There was Italian pastry shops and bakeries all over the place. And I lived on the street where they had the yearly festival, for the Madonna, the Casandrino.
Oh, wow.
That's cool.
I would just step out on my doorstep, and I'd be sitting on the front porch, and there was this big Feast of the Lights.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was great fun.
So did you have some inspiration from your own family for the book, I would imagine?
Yes. Like I said, my mother immigrated here, and the story is loosely based on how my parents met.
Okay.
But there's a lot of fiction in it. And, you know, some relatives might see a little bit of themselves in there, but it is a fiction and makes for a more interesting story.
Yeah, for sure. You know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hold on. I clicked on something here. Now,
like, what did you do?
No, I clicked on the picture of the book and I get something else. So, but at any rate, the spaghetti set, of course. And now, how did the book come about? Have you been writing before?
That's what I was going to ask that.
When I first came here to Prescott, I volunteered for the American Cancer Society.
Okay.
And while I was there, I would deal with the patients and give them information, and we'd hand out prostheses and wigs and things like that. But when it got slow, I was bored, so I would chit-chat with the receptionist. Well, she got in trouble for talking to me. So I said, okay, what do? I can't talk to anybody here. So there was a computer on the desk, and I sat down, and I start typing my thoughts from the night before.
Wow.
And I took them home, and I called my daughter, who was on the East Coast, and I read them to her. And she says, Mom, you're a great writer. You should write a book.
Wow.
So I started to write, and I wrote my first book, which I'm now rewriting. It was loosely based on me and how I moved to Arizona and all the things in Prescott, Arizona.
Uh-huh.
But that was my first book, and I'm rewriting it now. That's called Depending on Your View, and it's about a menopausal woman, Italian American, who spies on her neighbors. I don't really spy, but it made for a good story.
Yeah. So, well, that's cool. So you never knew you had a writer in you.
No, I never enjoyed writing before, and once I started, I couldn't stop. It's like you create your whole. Your own world, you know.
That's
true. You
create
the characters, and you can make them do anything you want if it's fiction, you know.
True that.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, when you were writing, do you know how the story is going to end, or is it pretty much you go for the journey and wherever it takes you?
I kind of go for the journey.
Yeah.
That's how I write. Some people have an outline and know how it's going to end.
Right.
But I just write, you know, I always go back and revise, but the story itself just comes out as I write.
Right. You see, that's the thing, is that because when I'm thinking, okay, if I wrote a book, how would I do it? You know, I probably wouldn't know how it ends, but I'm also worried that I'm going to write and write and write, and it's never going to end, you know, because I don't know how it's going
to end. Eventually, you have to have a plot in there.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. And there is a plot that goes throughout the story. About three brothers who run a business, and one of them is always trying to steal from the register and things like that.
Right.
So he gets in all sorts of trouble. He's called the malandrino. That in Italian, that means a rascal, you know. And he's the rascal of the family, and he's always getting in all sorts of trouble and getting everybody all riled up. And in the story, there is I'm trying to think of the word when you steal from your own business. What do you call that?
Embezzlement.
Yeah.
Embezzlement, that's it. There's embezzlement within the business, and there's also a murder in the story. So there's a lot of things going on, and it keeps the reader entertained with a comedy of errors.
Sounds good.
Pretty cool.
And this takes place, I see, like in 1947?
Yes.
Okay.
It's post-World War II.
Uh-huh.
And it's it brings you back to a time when family was all important.
Right.
And a time when everyone stuck to their own kind.
Right.
You know, Italians married Italians, the Polish married the Polish. So it's a little bit different than it is today. And it's a time when people, family really mattered.
Right, yeah. I know. I wish people would bring that back, you know, because it's like, well, we're just such an individualized society, you know, that you don't see that anymore.
Right.
And it's unfortunate, you know, but you got to keep the family spark going, you know, because it's the only thing you can really count on is your family, you know, and to have you back and so forth. I mean, not every family, but mostly and ideally. You know, that's what happens. Okay, well, Rosemary Boyd, the book is The Spaghetti Set, Family Served Italian Style. And
right.
It's available in paperback and in Kindle. You can get it at Amazon. Do you also have a website, or should we
I do. It's called thespaghettiset.blogspot.com.
Sounds good. And you write a blog there as well?
It's really not a blog. It's my website. It gives tells about the author, about the book. It gives the first two chapters of the book. It gives some pictures and charts. The family tree charts are on the website.
That's cool.
So,
Very good.
So if anybody wants to get a taste of it, the book does give you a taste of the Italian American customs, our language, the spirit, and the book entertains the reader with an amusing comedy of errors.
Right, and it's written by a genuine Italian, so it's not like somebody who's trying to guess about somebody else's life. Yeah.
I actually can't wait to share it with the rest of my family because we're all like so crazy Italian American, and my family is all mostly Maryland and South Jersey, of course, and some New York, but so I feel
my daughter lives in Maryland.
Oh, no way. Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. Baltimore.
Oh, no way. Yeah, I grew up outside of there. Tons of Italians there. And being here in L.A., like, there isn't that. Like, no one's Italian.
Really?
Yeah, no one is.
Whoa.
Oh, there has to be an Italian section somewhere.
No, not really.
I know. We don't even have Little Italy here.
We
like
don't.
New York
you've
does.
Got Old Armenia, and you've got... Everyone thinks I'm Armenian or something.
Really?
And I'm like, I'm not Armenian, and I'm not Jewish. I am Italian. But, yeah, it's funny.
All right. Rosemary, thank you so much for your time. It's very enjoyable. And we're going to check out the book. And the book, again, is The Spaghetti Set, Family Served Italian Style, Rosemary Boyd. Rosemary, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
And
thank you
all
for having me on your show.
Sure. When did the book come out? When did you release it?
The book came out in late May, early June. And it's moving along fine. Mm-hmm. Everybody's,
wonderful.
Going for it.
Good.
Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you so much for calling, and all the best to you.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Aw. Yeah, sweet lady.
Yeah, she's very sweet.
Yeah. Would you live in Arizona? Have you been there before?
Oh, I go there all the time.
Really?
Would I live there? I like it a lot, but I would not live there.
Yeah.
I have a
not
lot of friends.
Not much happening, huh?
No, my little godson's there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and my really good friends. And I had a lot of friends. And they all live in Scottsdale, Phoenix area. A lot of friends that live there.
Yeah.
In fact, last year, I had like 8 girlfriends from like back in Maryland that move there, that live there.
All of them did?
Yeah, and it was like, wow, this is so, we had a blast. So it's a lot of fun, and they all kind of moved away. Not all of them, but some of them did. But yeah, I go there occasionally to hang out and whatnot. And then I had friends that went to school at Tucson.
Right.
Which is like all further south. But I love it there. I like the spiritualness of it, I guess.
The spirituality there?
Well, because it's Native American land. Pretty much
everything is Native
American land. There's so many reservations. And
right.
I love going there for just kind of rejuvenating.
Yeah.
It is very rejuvenating, I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, sounds good.
But yeah. And it's fun to go visit to get away and like chill out. But and there is a good party scene.
Uh-huh.
Because the colleges. There's like 3 different colleges near there.
That's in Scottsdale.
Yeah, well, there's like University of Arizona, and then there's, I forget, there's like 2 or 3 different colleges like in that area. Mm. So it's very.
Yeah. Is Scottsdale far from Phoenix?
No, they're like 20 minutes.
Oh, really?
Half an hour, yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's like right there. Well, it depends like where in Phoenix and where in.
Right.
Otherwise, it's like 10 minutes, you know, it's like, depends where.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I know. I've been to Phoenix actually once, but it was just for one day, you know, it was business, so I flew in. Said hi,
and left. Then you left.
So I never got to see any of the city. You know?
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
You have to. Yeah,
yeah.
That's definitely, I go there all the time.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a 6-hour drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
That's true. It's not too bad, huh?
Mm-mm, it's not bad at all.
Yeah.
It's kind of like my second. Like when I need to get away quick and I want to go away for a weekend, then that's where I'll go.
Yeah.
So.
I know. When you get tired of Vegas and stuff, you know, you just go there.
I'm so over Vegas.
Yeah.
I know. I am.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
But, I know. But, you know, have you been to Laughlin? Which is, it's...
Isn't near Reno or something?
No. It's actually on the south of Nevada. It's not too far from Vegas.
You drive through it to go to Vegas?
No, you don't drive through it. It's sort of like out of the way. But it's right on the river, on the Colorado River. So it would really be cool to be, you know, on the river where with there's casinos and gambling and all that kind
that
of stuff.
That would be cool, I guess.
So, yeah, I heard it's pretty cool stuff, and they have jet skiing and all that. You
oh,
love
really?
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, I do.
Because there's a river right there.
Well, you know, I camped at the real Colorado, the Colorado River in the Grand Canyon, because I went hiking, you know, for about a week. God, it was very intense. 10 miles a day,
wow.
Carrying a 50-pound pack.
Really?
Through literally the middle of nowhere. And it was very scary, and you're 7,000 feet up, and you have like a cliff, and you just one small step and you're gone.
Yeah.
And there's no trail. It's not like there's any trail. Like you go running at Runyon Canyon here or Griffith Park or any of those running trails, you know, by the state. No, it is. There's just no trails.
Totally wild.
And I mean, you've got like, oh, I think that's a trail. We'll follow. And they have like little things where they stack rocks up in a row.
Uh-huh.
So like when the rocks are stacked, there's three rocks on top of each other. That means the trail is this way.
Oh,
and
okay.
You have to just follow where the rocks go.
It's, I see.
Crazy. And
yeah.
If you have to keep, sometimes you're like, you're looking and you're like, I don't know where the trail is. I don't know where it is. And we all have to like, we freak out for a moment. And
yeah.
Takes a while to find it.
Do you do a lot of climbing too?
It's a lot of climbing up and down. It's very dangerous. And when you're carrying 50 pounds on your back, for me.
If it's
like,
dangerous, we'll find you there.
Yeah, I'm there. But exactly. But we camped at the Colorado River, which is like the beach. And it's crazy because it's really very, very cold at night. I mean, I'm talking like 30s or something.
Really?
It's so cold. And during the day, it's like 90.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, what the fuck? And but at the beach, it's like, it's beautiful. It's, I mean, the water is so crystal clear blue.
Yeah.
The Colorado River is amazing. It's so beautiful, especially in the Grand Canyon because it's untouched.
Yeah.
You know, and no one lives near there. Yeah. And I want to do the whitewater rafting because they have like people that raft by and they're always like, and you wave to them. And you're like, wait, take me with you, you know? But the rafting adventures they have are 7 days. You can't do a minimum of three. Like, I'd like to do 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
On rafting, I can't do 7 days.
7 days is too much,
it's a long time.
Yeah. That's for really hardcore people.
Well, it's because there's no exit route. And it's like, you could take the, and you have so much crap on you. Like, you just can't, you have to go all the way down the river, like, to get off. And you can't just exit wherever, because there's rapids. I mean, and the rapids are pretty intense. They're insane there, and we camp right by the rapids. I got to see them. Like, it's so cool. And it's just relaxing when you hear the water at night.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so.
Yeah, it's cool. I like water a lot, you know, like oceans and waterfalls and things like that. It's so relaxing.
Calming. Very. But no, Laughlin will be fun to do, I guess.
Yeah.
I haven't done that yet.
I know. I haven't been there, but I heard so many great things about it.
Yeah.
And I got to check it out. Yeah.
I wonder if it's safe or if it's like for riffraff. You know, like Reno, Nevada is like, I hate to say it, but Reno is such shit. Like a shithole town.
I don't know. I've never been there. So
oh, it's shithole.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's like, it's kind of, it's like skeezy.
Yeah.
It's really skeezy. It's like where you go if you can't afford to go to Vegas kind of thing. Like it's like, it's weird.
But Tahoe is cool, right? Have you been there?
I have never been to Tahoe.
I never either.
Is that gambling there?
There's gambling too, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Part of it, yeah. It's mostly like nature and stuff, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they have like a town there and everything.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'd love to do that.
I know. I would like that.
Yeah.
In fact, I've been thinking since yesterday, since we had the guests here, that I should get into card counting. You know? Learn that stuff and do it for a little bit. You know, just,
I actually was thinking that too. I'm like,
money.
I'd be good at it. I think you'd be good at it because you could keep a poker face.
I don't know about that.
No?
No, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I don't know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, I don't know. I was wondering if you could like, you could sit there and just not.
But I'm sure, look, if you practice and stuff, you probably could do it.
Yeah.
You know, you just sit like, there and serious. And
I think you could be good at it. I don't know. I have a feeling.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try it then.
I want to do it. But like now that we're saying it, it's like, oh, well, you got to change your name and get a fake ID and like go in and I don't know, right? That's what I would do. I'll get a fake ID.
Would you really?
I would get a fake ID. Absolutely. Because if you get caught, it's a different name.
Yeah. But if you carry, if they call the police, they find out you have a fake ID, you get in trouble.
No. How are they going to prove it?
The police? They
Here's
can look
the
it
thing.
Up and see.
Oh, Sam. Oh, Sam.
Yeah.
I used to make, well, I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, don't give up.
When I was 16, I was involved in a
forgery ring or something?
Not really. People I know made, to get in the bars, made fake IDs. Mm. Or there was a way of acquiring them and their real IDs.
Really?
So, yeah, in fact, I was, I'll never forget, I was in a bar, and I was like 16 with a girlfriend of mine. She had her sister's ID. And Maryland state law, or actually any law, if it's a real ID, you can't take it away. You have to give it back. Because they just take IDs, and you pay like $300 for ID, and it's like, oh my God, when you have fake ones.
Right.
But mine were real ID.
Yeah.
And so was hers. And they wouldn't let us in the bar, and so they're like, we'll call the cops, and if they say that it's okay, I said, fine, call the cops.
Really?
And my girlfriend looks at me like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I know the law, whatever, call the cops. You know, because I had backup saying, like, all these names. Yeah. And the cops came, and they looked at it, and I was like, what do you want to know? I had everything memorized. I had the sign down. You have to know your sign. You have to know. I mean, it's just, you're becoming a character. And that's what I did. And I bullshitted the cops. They gave me my ID back, and I was allowed in the bar.
Really?
Yep.
At 16,
huh? Yeah. And my girlfriend wanted to pee herself. She's like, oh, my God, I'm so in trouble. Oh, my God. I'm like, shut the fuck out. It's your sister. You know all her information, you idiot. You look just like her. Shut up. Let me do the talking. Mine's the one that's not real. Let me, like, handle it. And got my way.
You're such a top boy.
I know.
I'm telling you, the things that you do.
I wanted to go try it out.
Yeah, what the hell, you know?
I know. But I think, like, that would be the key to do it. That's probably, we didn't ask them yesterday, but I would think that they may have had some fake IDs, I would think.
You think, huh?
Oh, yeah. Especially in that kind of circle ring.
Yeah.
And maybe not. Because if they're traveling,
because it's
though.
Not, it's not illegal, you know. That's what they're saying. It's not illegal. It's just like, you know, you go in, you have a method of playing the cards, and they can kick you out because they don't want to lose, but, you know, and it's a private property, and it's a service they provide. They don't have to provide that service to you. But at the same time, they can't really get you in trouble, although they did say they were, like, handcuffed and stuff by the security.
Well, because it's scaring you.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And see, for me, I know the law, and I know that you can't do that. And I'm like, you can't bullshit a bullshitter. Like, you just can't. You know what I mean? I would sit there, and I mean, you'd be trained too, so you would know what to say.
Right.
But I know I'd be easily like, whatever. And I would pull a straight face, like, are you like, what are you talking about? You know, like, counting cards? What? Because I'm lucky?
Yeah.
Really? I'm just a lucky person.
Yeah.
And I don't know what you're talking about.
Or I know how to play well. You know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I know. They're doing it to threaten you and scare you.
Yeah,
you know
they do. They just don't want you to come back, I think.
It's the old mob ways.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's
because
true.
It's still, you know, it was started by Bugsy Siegel and, you know, and Lucky Luciano and all those people. They started Vegas. And it's just like, and people still, and it's handed down. Like the Flamingo, it started by them. And then someone else goes and buy it. And then, you know, you have the same kind of mentality because it's passed down and passed down and passed down.
Right.
And it's just, it's like the old school mob it's not.
The same mentality, huh?
It is. And there's still mob these days.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You think
still
so in the casinos? I can't imagine.
Not really.
You know, some
casinos, not really all, because I do know a lot of people that are involved in casinos, and they're not. They're just really good people.
Right.
They're actually awesome. It's a group.
Yeah.
I don't know. But it's like the old ways.
Yeah.
You know what I'm going to say? The East Coast is more mob oriented than it is over there on the West.
That's
but
where
yeah, there's
started.
Still a lot of mob.
Yeah. No, there's mob. I just don't think they're in the ownership of casinos anymore.
Not really.
Yeah.
Not really. It's other things.
Yeah.
More so drugs and things like that.
Yeah.
And businesses that hide. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, actually, there's this thing. It's funny. In Maryland and on the beach, there's a bunch of, what are they called? Like sunseekers, but like these shops that are like stupid shitty shops that when you go in, it's obviously for tourists and they have like towels and, you know, like stupid, the Hollywood Boulevard shops.
Right, yeah.
Just like those.
Or like in Waikiki and stuff.
Yeah.
They have all the tourist shops.
All the dumb stuff where you can buy like jewelry and necklaces and cheap t-shirts and like
and
print
souvenirs,
them.
Souvenirs, yeah.
So I will say there's one on like every block in Ocean City, Maryland. And they are wired, I'm not kidding, because they were trying to legalize gambling for so long in Ocean City, Maryland, because in Ocean City, New Jersey, it's okay, it's near Atlantic City.
Uh-huh.
It's all the same shore, and it's all like the boardwalk and all that kind of continues.
Right.
And then it stops for a while in Delaware, and then it restarts in Maryland. So they were trying to get it legalized gambling forever, and it wouldn't happen. Maryland's like, not happening, not happening, not happening. But all their stores that are on every block are pre-wired for a casino.
Really?
Because if it were to change,
right,
overnight, they would switch like that to casinos.
Wow.
So, and they were owned by mob.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I used to say when I was little, why is there a shop, why is there a store on every corner? How can they afford that? Mm-hmm. You know, and now I realize later on, I was like, oh, okay. And I've heard that there's underground, you know, gambling underneath. But there's a certain chain of restaurants in Maryland that I wound up having to work for briefly.
Uh-huh.
Not for long. These certain diners in Maryland that were run by, I think the Russian mob. And, well, there's a lot of Russian Italian.
Right.
That they, believe it or not, they work together in these diner areas, which is weird because they usually don't get along,
yeah,
I think. But they did there. And underground, the diner, my girlfriend used to work as a waitress there. And one day I met the owner and I was talking to him, whatever, and he knew my family. And he's like, yeah, you want a side job? You can bartend downstairs. And I'm like, oh, it's downstairs? That's a private room.
Right.
It was organized gambling. Downstairs.
Really?
Yeah. And it was the craziest shit I've seen. And I kept my mouth shut because I saw a lot of different things down there.
Really?
But I did. I worked for a little bit bartending and watching what went on down there.
What went on? Like other than gambling and stuff?
Yeah.
Like sex and stuff, things like that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just weird. The piles of money that obviously were very underground. I mean, suitcases and crazy shit. And you're like, what the fuck is happening right now? Where am I? Guns. You know, it was actually, there were a couple fights. I was scared a couple times.
Sure.
But, you know, and I kept my mouth shut. I knew that if I had ever said anything, now I don't give a shit. But back then, I'd be, you know, I don't know what would happen.
Yeah.
Because it was a very big chain of
5 feet under or something.
Probably. But it was very interesting. I you wouldn't have guessed.
Yeah.
Yeah. A very popular chain of diners.
Wow.
Yeah.
gambling,
yeah,
you know?
That's East Coast. East Coast is so mob.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. It is, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's funny because like that show that's starting back up. Actually, oh God, starting in like 2 weeks. I'm really excited. The Borgias that I was telling you about.
Yes.
So that was based on the first crime family.
And oh, really?
Yes. The very first crime. In fact, the Godfather series was written based off the Borgia, the original Borgia family.
Oh.
Each character in the Godfather was based off a character in the family of the Borgias, which is actually interesting. You can Google and learn all about it.
Yeah.
But the Borgias is awesome. They're a Spanish family that moved to Italy. Pope, I forget what changed his name to, but he was one of the popes.
Uh-huh.
And he was married and had kids as a pope, but what he did is he was just so backwards, and he would kill people if you questioned him or whatnot, and he married his daughter off to, you know, well, like back then they would have, like, to make your country and another country get along or whatever, or have more power,
right,
you'd marry your kids
they
off
would marry,
to,
right.
And so that's what they did, or they would kill them, and it's an amazing show. It's so, like, fucking crazy.
Really?
But it's a true story, so it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. So is this, like, the second season now?
This will be
what?
Second season that's coming out. And I think it's Showtime. It could be HBO. But I think it's Showtime is what it comes on. But the Borgias. And it starts again in, like, 2 weeks in April. So I'm really excited to see it again. But
those cable companies are really coming out with some good shows,
I know, they really are.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And then there's that whole show called Lucky I haven't seen yet that's on gambling.
They took off.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman, right?
Yeah. I haven't seen
didn't
it
last
yet,
very long.
Oh, is it done?
Yeah.
I thought it was still airing.
No. Well, maybe it is, but they discontinued it.
Okay.
They're not renewing it.
I watched part of one episode that I had saved. I thought I would like it, and I wasn't as into it as I was Boardwalk Empire, for example.
Yeah.
Which Boardwalk Empire is based off of, I don't know if you know that, but Boardwalk Empire, I love it because it's literally the true story of how Atlantic City got started.
Oh, really?
And how the mob got started there, and how they branched off. It was like Lucky Luciano as a kid. And showing how he left there and where they went from there.
Yeah.
It's actually really awesome.
Wow.
And
so do you watch it?
I do watch that show. I really like it.
Yeah, I've heard great things about it.
The first couple episodes I didn't like as much. I mean, it took time for me to get into the story.
Right.
And then once you're in it, because it's all true story as well. It's all mob and casino and just the crazy scandals of...
Yeah.
Also of, like, Prohibition era is a lot of it. Because it was all Prohibition and stuff back then.
Right.
Before it, you know, and that was a lot of how, like, the mob got handled. That's how casinos got money.
Right.
Because they would run ships. It's actually so fascinating how they would run the ships through the casino and so much blood and whatever. But I love the show. Anyway. Mobs. Anyway. I don't know what he's talking about. Oh, because the spaghetti set.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
The spaghetti set.
But
I know. Well, you talk about New Jersey and the situation. You know, Mike, the situation.
Oh God, I can't stand them.
I know. I never really watched the show, but I keep hearing about them all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently, he is going into rehab.
Oh, really?
For a prescription medication problem. Yeah. And so I guess he's exhausted or something.
Right.
You know.
Well.
So I can't believe it ended. The show ended its fifth season this month.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
They renewed it for another sixth season.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I know. Did you ever watch it at all?
I watched a clip, maybe like 10 minutes of an episode or something. I think they were fighting or whatever. And then I was like, this is stupid. I'm not watching this.
And you like reality shows, right? It's just that this one's stupid.
It depends. I mean, it really depends what show.
Right.
I like Survivor. I like...
You're not tired of Survivor yet? I mean, they've had so many. What if they had like 20 or something? Already?
You know what it is? I think because I know a lot of the people. I think that's why.
Oh, okay.
Because I do the reality rally,
right,
which is coming up.
And you
up
like
soon.
The survival type of a thing, outdoors and hunting and shit like
I
that.
I do all like that. Yeah, I know.
What else? What other than Survivor? What else do you like?
You know, I don't watch as much reality as you would think. I used to, but I really am not. America's Next Top Model, I enjoy occasionally because I like watching how they shoot and the photographs, how they turn out. I like listening to the feedback they get from the photographers and the
judges or something?
The people that tell you how to pose, the art directors. I like listening to the art direction because, you know, I model as well. And so I look and I watch. I learn from everything that I do. And I look and I watch everything and I'm like, okay, I'm going to take that into mine. Or I look at different poses and I'm like, that looks good and that doesn't and whatever. And I store that info.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like that kind of stuff. But that's I only watch HBO and Showtime.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the CW.
Yeah. Do they have any reality shows too on those channels?
No.
No, huh?
No.
It's just more like
they have like they had a show actually called Real Sex. And I think that was HBO. And that was interesting because I've watched a few episodes of that. I think it's called Real Sex or that's one of them. There's another one too. I forget. Anyway, and it was one of them was about this couple that went around and would teach other people how to. I was watching it one day and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? This is really interesting. And it was all these naked couples like in a circle, and they would teach them how to do tantra or different like things. And so I was like, I'm just gonna watch this. Like, why not? It's kind of like porn, but it's not.
Yeah.
And because they're like learning stuff or. I think the real sex was like real sexual situations that you're put in and like, you know, how do you deal with it as an adult or, you know, different issues and whatnot. So I've watched a few of those because they're different topics each time. And I'm like, whatever, it's on at night. I don't care. I'll fall asleep to it. And and so I've watched those a few times.
Yeah.
But one of them was like, you learn like cool stuff. I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
I know.
I like Big Brother. I like that one. You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got to get Rachel in here.
Yeah. You said going to,
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we get back, I'll have her come in.
She's become like such a big star from that show.
I know.
And because she got to be on two episodes. On two seasons.
Oh, she's on something else right now, too. What was she taping? Not The Apprentice, but... some other show that, The Amazing Race. She's in The Amazing Race right
really?
Now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's why. She's, you know, because she met her fiance on Big Brother.
Big Brother.
And they are now doing Amazing Race together.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow,
so she's
how
on The Amazing
cool.
Race. So I don't know if she's still away or she's back yet or not. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I mean, she really, you know, showed everybody what she's made of, you know, because I remember in the beginning, she came through as a bimbo, you know, and.
She's not.
No, I mean, you know, you can tell that she actually can think, you know, but she's got like a funny laugh and stuff and people just thought she's a bimbo, but she managed to win the game and then come back for another season and win that one. And, you know,
she's good. She's from Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her and I, we did a shoot together last year called The Girls of Reality Rally because we're all involved in the Reality Rally, which will take place this April. I want to say it's 13th, 14th, and 15th, whatever that weekend is, the 14th, it'll be them. And that's the Amazing Race for Charity that we do, which, by the way, you can still donate. And I will tweet about it in a bit if you're listening because we need we need more donations. But it's really great. It's we're doing all doing the amazing race for breast cancer. And right. so I took five girls that I knew or that I'd met through there and five hot girls. And we did a photo shoot together and put in a magazine to promote Reality Rally. So she was in it with me.
Awesome.
And I got, Bear Paul sponsored us boots. They gave us all the boots.
Really?
And Monster gave us all the Monster for the day because we had a long day of shooting. And it was fun. It was,
You amazed me how you get all these free things.
Yeah. So it was a fun, sexy shoot. It really was. Yeah. Wow. And we did it through the town of Temecula.
Really?
Yeah, because that's where we...
Yeah, that's where it's going to be, right?
Yep, so we did it during there, and it was fun. It was a really cool shoot.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure it's going to be cool and everything.
You got
to
come watch it. You should come down and watch it.
Maybe I will, yeah. But how do you watch something like this? People run, you know? I mean, you see them for 2 seconds.
It's actually a full three-day weekend full of all kinds of events. So there's signings. There's over 200 reality stars. So there's signings that we do. There's parties. It's all kinds of parties and stuff.
Yeah, so it's not just the run itself.
Right. There's vendors. There's a silent auction. It's fun. And then the actual day of the event, people sit there and they watch us race through. And either they're watching or they're at the start or finish. And then we throw a party after. And we do.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'll come to the
there's
party.
The winery and
Sounds
stuff. You totally come.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. Well, we have one more day before we go on vacation, folks. So you'll definitely want to be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Brigetta, thank you.
You're welcome. Who do we have tomorrow?
I don't know who we have, but we'll figure it out.
Oh, but yeah, we will figure it out.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigetta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.